212. It's the ticket. Happy All-Star Game weekend, everybody.
All right, we just escaped. We just dodged a bullet. I think Jake saved us. So we had this 15 for 15 planned, and with Super Bowl, 15 for 15, by the way, it's our take on 30 for 30. ESPN has the 30 for 30 documentary series highlighting 30 major events that have happened to help shape ESPN over their 30-year history.
Mm.
We've been on the air 15 years. 15 years, Bob.
That's amazing.
And so we have chosen...
If you were a kid that was born when our show started, you're 15 now.
Whoa. So deep. So we have been doing a 15 for 15 series as well. And generally they're put together by Jake and the great Donovan, and that's why they sound so great. 15 years, 15 major events that have helped shape the Bob and Dan radio program.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been out of town at the Super Bowl. We were out of town last week with the Stars, and so we gave it to TC and said, hey, we need a 15 for 15 produced, and he has a great idea for one of them, and he's doing it. And I don't know what, whether he got sick or if it's just TC's, I don't know what happened, but it turns out he didn't get it done in time. So this morning, Jake scrambled and put something together that he says will pass for this month's 15 for 15.
Oh, wow.
So he just slapped this together, I think, in like an hour.
That's amazing.
Is that right, Jake?
All accurate.
Do I need to say anything else?
No.
Here it is.
What if I told you that a nerdy kid from South Dallas would go on to have an indestructible decades-long career in radio? What if I told you that that same kid would become a mythological hero in the lore of bathroom pranks, and then one day coax DeMond Wilson into using the N-word several times on terrestrial radio? In celebration of Black History Month, this is 15 for 15. Donovan Lewis joins Bad Radio. The year was
1993.
KLIF program director Dan Bennett had an opening to fill on Kevin McCarthy's show. What they needed was a board op. But Bennett recalls the time when he knew they discovered something much, much more.
Hired Donovan as a board op, and everybody loved him. One of those guys in the building that everybody thought the world of the guy. Everybody really, really liked him. And one day I came around the corner, and I walked in the kitchen. And I like to say I discovered Donovan in the kitchen. And there he was, holding court, doing his Donovan Chris Rock bit.
Could you just let me, every time black people want to have a good time, some ignorant ass I take care of my kids.
And he's got them all laughing and all joking. He's got something you can't coach. He's got it.
Kevin McCarthy.
We had kind of an odd couple of relationship that formed, people that might normally not mix, but we liked each other. We liked working with each other. As we got to know each other, the more we got to know each other, the better we liked each other.
McCarthy and Lewis in time bonded in such a way that McCarthy felt comfortable calling his technical director onto the air, still considered unconventional by today's standards.
And the first time that I put him on the air, someone had called in about something having to do with pop culture that I was too old to really know about. And he gave them an answer, and he sounded like he'd been in broadcasting all his life.
He's one of those guys that can light up a room when he walks into it. You can't really teach that. I mean, somebody's either able to do that or they're not. I mean, you can teach in radio, you can teach formatics and basics and how to read a liner card and all that kind of stuff. But how to have a personality and how to make people laugh, that's an innate talent that can't really teach.
He doesn't yet really understand all the nuances, all the reading the defenses. And, he's going to get better and better and better. He's still a young guy. But physically, boy, I love to watch him compete.
He took to being on the air instead of just being on the technical side of the business like a duck to water. Of course, I don't know if Donovan swims, so that might not be the best analogy, but he was a natural.
But if McCarthy thought that he and Lewis's relationship could be considered an odd coupling, he was surely shocked by what happened next. When McCarthy moved on, Lewis found himself working with the Big Bone Morning Show.
But I just knew that he worked on the Bone Morning Show, and that the Bone Morning Show had this lavish office lounge that they created at our old building that had like palm trees and couches and had a big sign that said Bone Morning Show only. And it just seemed so over the top and ridiculous. And I knew he was a part of it. And so I think most people that worked at the Ticket looked at everybody on that Bone Morning Show and thought, slow down, Hoss.
Unfortunately, the Bone Morning Show was unable to play up to the level of its lounge, and Lewis was again seemingly without a radio home.
The company was changing hands. We were being sold from Susquehanna to Cumulus. And so anytime any of these acquisitions happen, even when you're part of the station that's being acquired, there's loss of bodies, to put it nicely.
We're going to be getting rid of these people here. First, Mr. Samir Not going to work here anymore anyway.
I didn't want him to be one of the casualties, so we put him back over on the Ticket. And I talked Kat into figuring out a place for him.
He had come on our show a couple of times to do some check the charts, a little music talk. And we always enjoyed the segment when he was on. And we kind of would say to each other, hey, if we ever had a chance, it'd be cool to add him to the show. And so we had targeted him years before he ever joined the Ticket.
As clearly as I can remember, they asked, Kat in particular, asked me if this is something we would be open to. And we said, sure, let's try it. Because in the past, there were talks that maybe Dave Lane would join our show or that someone else might, you know, it's kind of a third person because at the time that was a big bit where Mike and Greg had Corby and Dunman Miller had Gordon, and maybe it was time for us to get a third guy. And, you know, then it never really happened, and then Donovan came along.
All I knew is that Dan Bennett, our general manager, highly recommended him to the point where it sounded like that Donovan had old photos of Dan and a sheep or something like that. I mean, it was pretty hardcore, the love that Dan was throwing out there for Donovan. So, you know, if you trusted Dan Bennett, then you knew Donovan did have something. But I think a lot of people had quite a bit of trepidation when it came to Donovan and what he was going to bring to the table. Nobody knew.
The weird thing was he joined us while we were on the road in Miami at the 2006 NBA Finals. So I remember him just sitting in studio while we were there, focusing on each other and talking about the Mavs and such, and then we would awkwardly throw it to Donovan now and again. So pretty much sounded just like it does today.
Donovan's wife, Twiggy, on his being added to the Ticket.
You know what? He was happy, but he was a little nervous as well. You know, you guys were kind of established, shows were kind of set, and people, you know, have relationships, and this is an outsider coming in to a kind of well-oiled machine, you know, and not only was he an outsider, you don't see too many people at the Ticket that look like him.
Back on the Bone, Donovan had worked as the morning show sports guy, a passion his mother said had been with him his whole life.
But when he was small, he always did love sports. When he was in school, he could tell you every baseball team or baseball player. He's always loved sports.
Even if a career as an athlete didn't seem to be in the cards.
He was a scrawny little boy. He was always small for his age.
Lewis knew his stuff. However, talking sports on the Bone is different than sharing the airwaves with a licensed sports humorist and a world heavyweight champion sports bully. Again, his wife, Twiggy.
He had did sports on, you know, with the Bone or whatever. So it's like, here's another sports guy, or someone who thinks he can talk sports, you know. So you guys are the sports mecca. Here's this outsider coming in that talks sports on a rock station. Who cares about that? So, you know, just living up to the world, the sports world that you guys were dominating.
Yeah, I just assumed because he was on the Bone that he was like well versed in Herman's Hermits and ZZ Top, and that was really it. I had no idea that, you know, he knew anything about sports.
When you're Donovan and you have to come in behind, you know, Gordo, and you have to come in behind Corby, who have these distinct personalities and styles and roles on the show, I think for him the frustration was, how does he fit in and do something new and unique that contributes? But he's coming behind these two guys that were huge and in big parts of the station already, and trying to find his own voice, I think, was frustrating.
So Donovan comes to me at Cowboys training camp, and he had alerted me before the trip that he wanted to sit down and talk to me. And so we go sit by the pool at the hotel at Cowboys training camp. And the first thing he said was, don't throw me in. And the second thing he said was, of course, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know my role. And I don't know if I can be, quote unquote, funny all the time.
I didn't want Donovan to come on and be the new ass of the group. Because I know that he has the kind of mentality of like, oh, you know what, whatever, I can do whatever. And I mean, I think like his position is, what is it, something, what's monkey, what is the thing, what is it called? Yeah, yes, monkey. And I'm like, okay, that title just scared me to death.
Eventually, I told him, and I remember telling him this, that you don't have to be funny, you just have to be entertaining. And the two don't go hand in hand all the time. Just be entertaining.
I had just won the blackest guy at the ticket contest, and so I would be lying if I said I didn't feel a little threatened by that, because I didn't know how I could retain the blackest guy at the ticket title once Donovan joined the ticket. So I had to set that aside.
Well, Donovan wasn't the first black guy to be on the ticket, of course. He was the third. You had Kurt Menefee, and then you had Chris Arnold. And then you had Donovan. And Donovan is much blacker than Chris Arnold, but I would say on equal shading with Kurt Menefee. So he had that going for him.
First of all, I didn't even notice he was black. I don't see people in that way. But after being informed that indeed he was African American, it did open up a whole new world of possibilities.
I think we could tackle topics on anything racially related on a far better level, because we have a very good mix of perspectives, and I think that's great. Not to sound too hokey, but it's awesome to come at things from different sides, and sometimes we're on different sides, sometimes we're not. So it's cool to have that possibility.
But along with the benefits of a new perspective, Bad Radio now had to learn to talk about certain issues that, at times, could become testy.
I don't like D.L. Hughley, and I never have, and it probably stems from a personal interaction I had with him when I worked in Dayton. But it was just something that kind of got heated on the air, and I believe it started jokingly as me saying that he wouldn't criticize a black comedian.
You are just being what?
Give me an unfunny
person.
Black comedian.
Why? What's the point?
Tell me one.
What's the
one.
Point?
One.
That's my whole
hold
point.
Hold on. Not Sinbad. One.
Why? Okay.
Anyone.
You know what? I'm not going to feed into that game because that's just
See?
Stupid.
I win.
Okay, name an unfunny white comedian.
Admit that I won.
Okay, that's just,
all right. Flip orally.
Carrot
Top. Give you any.
God, I just don't understand why I have, I have to put myself out there to say somebody's black.
Because you just won't criticize anyone funny. Black because then the black community will email you.
No, they won't.
Hey, how come you're criticizing one of us that has made it?
That makes no difference to me.
I'm just telling you what I think.
You think
and
wrong.
Apparently, it just went too far, as some things will do, and I guess they say the things that do actually do make good radio. So I believe I left the show that day and thought, okay, cool. That was something people didn't tune out of. Whereas I think he probably took it home and stewed a little bit harder about it. I don't think wrong.
Yes, you do.
You can't name
are
one.
We gonna be able to,
I don't
are,
have to.
Are we going to be able to resolve
name
this,
one.
Or are we just going to go in the circle for the rest of the show?
I don't have to name somebody that's black.
I didn't say you have to, but
to
I'd like you to.
Anything
who?
To you. I'm not proving anything. That's just stupid.
So you don't have one?
I don't care. I'm not going to answer. That's just
so
dumb.
I win.
No, you don't.
Why not?
Okay, you know what? Freak it. You win. You're right. Dan's a big winner. Woohoo! Dan won!
Thank you.
Dan won! Dumbass.
All right.
There was one time Donnie and I had a bit of an issue regarding something racial, and it was a Tyson Chandler interview. So now I'm interviewing a guy from Compton, and I believe I asked him something that seemed extremely reasonable to ask, but it upset Donovan, which was the question of...
So did you have to pick a side or anything? There's another generic white guy question.
Yeah, you basically.
Between what are the two sides?
Right, what gang?
Red and blue.
Wow. Well, that is the most generic one.
Come on.
Are you a blood or a Crip, Tyson? Which one?
Yeah, I know. If I'm going to walk out of this radio interview and just
Compton's reputation precedes itself. Let's not act like it doesn't.
Why don't you ask him if he ever bought a 40?
I mean, if I'm going to walk out of here and get it, I'm either going to get arrested or shot. I mean, there's two things are going to happen. There's nothing good out of that
question. Like, wow. I feel like we're all friends here.
Yeah, I guess I thought too, about what would it be like to be the only white dude at an all-black station or something. But then I've thought that just like since I'm from the north and when it snows or gets cold down here, people say, hey, you should be used to it. You know, Donovan's been working at a white station for like 20 years or something now. Come on. Shouldn't you love it by now?
In fact, a few years into his tenure with Bad Radio, it appeared he was enjoying his stay in what his wife termed white people land a bit too much.
Have a crack in the toilet.
Upper decker.
Donovan.
It's the joke.
Are you crazy? You have been around them damn white people too damn long. I cannot believe you took a in the toilet.
Top of the toilet.
Okay, but still, you hiked your ass up on top of the toilet and took a crap.
It's funny.
Oh, see, that is so. Okay, how's the fun?
It worked.
That is like unsanitary. That's stupid.
But it worked.
And you laughed about it. Worked. This. That is some nasty.
First of all, that was all Donovan. That was not white people related. He may have been emulating a UFC TV show, but the fact is this is not something Bob and I egged him on to do. And hey, go number two in the upper tank of your toilet because it'll be really funny and then record it. I would not wish that on my worst enemy. And the fact that he did that to sweet, adorable, entertaining Twiggy, it repulses me, actually. But it made for good radio.
At no point did he seem like a candidate to do that. That's crazy. That's an upper decker. Do you know how sick that is? And at some point, a grown man actually has to execute it. And the depths you have to find within yourself to pull something like that off is just crazy. And I can't imagine why he did it. I'm happy he did it because Twiggy was so great. But the fact that he did it is insane to me.
He's gotten better. I guess he's listened to me when I say there are things that do not leave this house, and you need to remember that you are married to a black woman, and you over the years you I hope that has sunk in your head. There are some things I'm just not gonna play with. So I think that kind of grounds him a little more, that he doesn't like to pull those little stunts again. You know, you only have a few you get away with, and he's played all his cards.
While the upper decker may have actually been the whitest moment in ticket history, Lewis also presided over this interaction, balancing the scales by being the blackest moment in ticket history.
I think that you guys had that much success on a night where usually people are going out and entertaining themselves and finding other forms of entertainment on a Friday night. Usually,
one of the quotes that I put in the book is a quote from Red Fox. Didn't go out on Friday night till after they watch Sanford and Son.
Okay. All right. That's a pretty good quote. That's words to live by, I guess. I guess that's the
truth.
Don't
get mad at me. I didn't say that.
No, I'm not mad. I'm not mad at all. This is Damon Wilson.
No, wait a minute. I don't know about colored people or black people, but he said, didn't go. He said, son, we the biggest in America. He said, don't go out on Friday night till they see you, Sanford.
All right.
We will be fired, long gone. We will have worked at three or four more stations, or we'll be on satellite radio by that time. Donovan will still be here at this company, very likely hosting a country music show from 3 to 6 in the afternoon. He will eventually work at every station in this company.
From break room routines to illicit N-bomb napalm from Damon Wilson, Donovan Lewis has been an integral part of Bad Radio's run on the ticket. Join us next month as we commemorate another aspect of this 15-year run with 15 for 15.
Yeah.
I think I wanted to hear Irvin Joe. I was getting really excited about that one.
Way to fire that up just since this morning.
Man.
Interviewed his mom and Twiggy and Dan Bennett, Kevin
McCarthy. Everyone's in there.
All came together.
Chris Collinsworth.
Steve Carell. Everything just worked out.
Man, that's a great 15 for 15. But then again, they're all very good. They're all really great. Nice job, Jake. Nice job, most months, Donovan, TC. All the hands involved in 15 for 15, but that this week.
We were hoping you wouldn't get turned on to us.
I had no idea.
Because TC was supposed to clandestinely make another one that we'll use next month, and he didn't finish it. So we were worried about the fact that he wasn't going along with the ruse.
That's awesome.
No idea at all.
All right, it's 2:30. This is The Ticket. Up next, a look at this weekend in the association.
The Ticket's got your back. If you're